The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
The opinions expressed by the guests of this show do not necessarily express the opinions of Dr. Weinerman or Weinerman Pain and Wellness.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Welcome to the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, Philadelphia's premier physical therapy and pain management facility. Here are your hosts, Blake Rosen and Dr. Albert Talone.
All right, welcome to WWDB 860 AM. This is the Pain and Wellness Hour on this November 7th, Election Day. It may be gray outside, but it's beautiful inside the studio. We have a great show lined up for everybody. Of course, we have Dr. Albert Talone, and we're going to be talking about shingles, something that is not really near and dear to me, but unfortunately has touched my household recently. And of course, we have our Who's Who injury attorney, Joe Mesa, who's the managing partner and founder of Mesa and Associates, coming up at the 15-minute mark on the hour. So we got a great show lined up. Doc, welcome, welcome aboard. We talked about, you know, we're going to talk about shingles.
Yes.
First of all, can you tell us what shingles are?
Shingles is a viral infection. Manifests itself on the skin initially, causing blistering, pain, and can be debilitating, at least for the short period of time. And it can lead to very serious complications in some instances.
Now, unfortunately, I had, you know, I got a little bout with shingles, I guess, about a year ago. My wife literally just finished, you know, and she's getting, it's at the tail end of it. So it's a coincidence that we're talking about this now. But from what I understand, it's derived from the chickenpox virus or whatever.
If you, as a youngster or whenever, had chickenpox, known as varicella, okay, you're at risk because the virus is in your bloodstream, and it can make a showing or an exacerbation many years later, even though it's been quietly in your bloodstream, in your cells. And that's what the herpes infection is. It's an outbreak of that varicella virus that you acquire when you were a kid. You may not even had the chickenpox. You could have passive immunity. You could have picked it up from your cousins or whoever else you were with, because it spreads with the children. But most folks have varicella in their blood, so almost everybody's at risk with the shingles.
What brings it on? I've heard stressful situations, you know, bring on the onslaught of it. Tell me, you know, if we all have it in our blood, what really triggers it?
Well, they think it's associated with stress. Any serious or debilitating disorder, disease. If you suffer with chronic diseases of a sort, you're more at risk because it has a tendency to flare and complicate exacerbations of other disorders. So it's an opportunistic type infection. But then again, you could be perfectly healthy, have nothing wrong with you at all, and you can have an attack of shingles.
Does it easily spread? Is it contagious?
It's not highly contagious except on direct contact. You have to make direct contact with the vesicles. That's the only phase that it's contagious is when you have the blister. The vesicle is the blister which contains the virus, you know. So that's the most vulnerable time.
Now, when we contracted it, like I said, I contracted it a year ago. My wife recently contracted it. There was medication that immediately, you know, we could take to help attack it, and it did. It stifled it. For both of us. Neither one of us. I mean, we had a form of it, no question. You know, it wasn't as bad as we had feared. Thank God, because we've heard nightmare stories about it. Tell us a little bit about that and how important it is to get the medication in you early.
Well, it all depends on what type of reaction you're going to have. They're mild, moderate, severe reactions. Most people have a mild to moderate, but they can be quite severe. There's a group of medications known as the cyclovirs, and they're very helpful. it will abbreviate and shorten the course and make the course a lot less complicated. But there's nothing to eradicate it once you have it. But it will ameliorate and ease, soften up some of the symptoms and the progression. But they're called the cyclovirs, and the doctors prescribe those widely.
So if somebody's, let's talk about the symptoms. Somebody's, the red spots are, tell us a little bit about if somebody, has a reaction to something, what are the symptoms?
Well, first there's what they call a prodrome. Most folks will notice some burning or stinging under the skin. They may not see anything on the skin. The skin will look normal. It's a cutaneous or a skin infection. It starts out, and within the course of the next few days, you'll start seeing eruptions, blistering. They look like cold sores on anywhere of your body. It only affects one side of the body, above or below the diaphragm. And, then eventually we'll go to a scar phase. It'll dry out. The vesicle will break. It'll dry out and form an eschar phase. But the first symptom is burning. You might not feel right. You might feel out of sorts, like any infection. You might have a little cold symptom with it, something like that. But the typical hallmark sign is burning under the skin, one particular part of the body.
If you get the medication, does the medication, because my wife and I were able to get it so fast, but and kind of temper it, is it how soon do you have to take the medication? In other words, we got it within about a week, and we really got fortunate. What is your timeline there, to potentially temper it before it gets out of control?
There's no hard and fast timeline, but the thing is, if you get those symptoms and you start seeing eruptions, you should seek medical attention as soon as possible and try to start the medication also as soon as possible. The sooner the better, because it stands to your best interest to do so, like anything else.
Doc, when I first got it, I knew, I had a football coach in high school, and he was kind of giving, he got it, and he was reported on Facebook. Man, and I'm telling you, it was like a month-long process of living hell. He was reporting it online, of course, right away. I'm thinking, this is crazy. As soon as I get it, I'm in a total, a panic because I don't know anything about it. Tell us about the different extremes. In other words, how bad it can get and, what you could expect if it gets that bad.
Well, chickenpox in children is nothing to fool around with. Every so often we get a difficult case with a youngster. However, in adults, it usually is self-limiting and there isn't too much post-complication. But you can be left with a condition known as post-herpetic neuralgia, in which there's so much inflammation and damage to the nerves, because it does attack the nervous system in the skin. And you have this chronic burning that lasts indefinitely. The other issue is if the virus should get near your eye or your nose or your ear, you can lose your vision, your sense of smell, and even your hearing. It can occur, but that's in very rare instances. It also can get into the lining of the brain, known as the meninges, and you can get a very nasty infection. Fortunately, we don't see much of that. It's very hard, if at all possible, to treat. It's very difficult. So it behooves folks to do something preventive.
Is there a vaccine? A vaccine?
Yeah, a few years ago, they came out with a vaccination for it. It's called Zostavax, Zostavax, which you can get at your pharmacy.
If you didn't have chicken pox when you were a kid, and I know you said it's still possible, should you be vaccinated? In other words, you hear the nightmares about shingles. I did not have that experience, so for our listeners, my concern initially was, okay, I'm in huge trouble. I saw some of the reports about this, and I've had, friends get it, and they got it, and, I think my mother-in-law got it, and she got it badly. But if you haven't contracted the chicken pox when you were a kid, and you're not really completely at high risk, would you advise getting the vaccine just because it can, can turn out to be so debilitating?
If you're in good health and you don't have any concomitant or pre-existing conditions, you know, serious conditions. If you're not on rejection drugs or immunosuppressant drugs, you know, you're not a patient that's being treated for cancer or anything like that, but certainly these autoimmune drugs. You can take this vaccine. And even though you've never had chickenpox, you don't remember anything about it, no one knows, you should still get it. It's recommended for people right now 50 and over. But to be honest with you, anybody can get the vaccine, you know, except if you have some limiting allergies to the medication or you have some serious underlying medical condition that would preclude you, because it is an attenuated live vaccine. Most vaccines that we get are not. So it's a very strong vaccine. But it's relatively safe.
Is it a one-time?
One-time. Right now, it's early in the game. We're tracking it. We don't know how it's going to perform long-term, but it appears to be a one-time.
Shingles sometimes comes back on people. In other words, mm-hmm. you know, you've had it once. Just because you've had it one time doesn't mean you're immune to having it again. Is that correct?
That is correct.
When you've had it one time, are you more susceptible to getting it again? You know, it's in your system.
Not necessarily, but, you never know. You know, I would say that if you had it one time, you're gonna seek out the vaccine.
And then when you get the vaccine, is that supposed to alleviate the potential, for contracting it, you know, in the future?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is supposed to help alleviate you contracting that. That's correct.
If somebody's out there, and I just want to go over one more time the symptoms. If somebody's out there and they have the red spots, is there any other potential? So my wife was feeling nauseous initially. And we did a little research on it, and of course, she had some redness in her hand or something like that, and she was a little sensitive to it because she knew I had it, and she'd been going through a little bit of a stressful situation. What are other symptoms aside from the redness and a little bit of a burn, because that was going on? She looked it up, and she also saw some nausea and other factors.
Well, as I said before, you can have some systemic effects, like a cold symptoms. You might just feel out of sorts. You might have stomach distress, And then, of course, the hallmark symptom is this burning under the skin, and you don't see anything initially. And then after that, you see a red, angry rash followed by the blistering, which is the painful portion.
Dr. Albert Talone, thank you so much
for
being
Joe.
On the Pain and Wellness Hour. Great segment as usual. And after the break, we'll come back and we're going to introduce you to Joe Messam.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years. And you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainAndWellness.com.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
they just told us right away that we're going to house you, we're going to feed you, and every single one of his medical bills is just all taken care of.
They've saved my family from financial ruin. It allowed me and my wife both to focus on the most important thing, which was the health and well-being of our son.
We have phenomenal research, outstanding clinical care, and the generosity of public, which allow us to treat patients regardless of what it takes. And that's what makes St. Jude so magical.
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, families never receive a bill for treatment, travel, housing, or food, because the only thing a family should worry about is helping their child live.
Doctors send us the toughest cases to be treated at St. Jude, and our patients come from all over the world.
When we come here, they told me, don't worry, everything's been taken care of.
We could never repay St. Jude for what they've given us.
Because of you.
Gracias a ti.
Because of you.
There is St. Jude.
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the Y? Or so you think. Sure, you know the Y for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the Y. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background, and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step, a developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
All right, welcome back to the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinemann Pain and Wellness, serious injury, serious doctors for serious injuries. So I'm going to introduce our Who's Who segment. And so as part of our Philly Labor Injured Workers Advocacy Initiative, which provides programs and advocates on behalf of injured workers, our Who's Who Injury, Who's Who Initiative recognizes the top injury professionals throughout the Philadelphia region in the area of injury law. So the Philly Labor Who's Who in Injury and Injury Advocate Workers Advocacy Initiative gives us the opportunity to shed a spotlight on who we consider the best of the best in the area of injury law. And I'm ecstatic to have on the program Joe Messa of Messa & Partners Law Firm. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you, and certainly, you know, your career is as a successful injury attorney is well documented, and we certainly, you know, obviously appreciate you not only being on the show but being a part of the Who's Who initiative. And so, first off, tell us a little bit about yourself and your career as an attorney.
I'll start off about myself. I'm a kid from Philly. I'm kid from the neighborhood. I was born and raised in Germantown, been in Philadelphia pretty much my whole life other than going away for college. My father worked for PennDOT, went away for college and came back here and went to Temple University for law school.
Now you went to, I think we had a brief, what high school did you go to?
I went to Chestnut Hill Academy.
You went to Chestnut Hill. I went to Penn Charter.
I know you're a Penn Charter.
Yeah, that's right. But we booked the show anyway. It's no big deal.
Despite the rivalry.
So certainly, as you obviously went to law school, at what point did you realize that you were interested in representing injury victims?
Not until I practiced law for a little bit when I came out of law school. I got a lot of interviews and job offers by big law firms. I started out my career in a big corporate law firm in the city and representing defendants.
Sure.
Product liability, people that made defective products, and doctors on the defense side in medical malpractice cases. And I quickly figured out that didn't align with my moral compass. It wasn't for me. It wasn't where my heart was. And I felt really not good about trying to prevent people who were injured from someone else's negligence or a defective product from recovering money to help support their families and themselves. I figured that out within the first year or so, and then decided that my real calling was to help injured people and help their families.
Which is a way that a lot of individuals get into the, you know, in other words, they represent the other side. Also, it gives you a unique perspective on what, you know, their strategies are and what their point of view is.
It does. And one sort of thing that stands out in my mind that I knew for sure I had to get out of the wrong side was I was in a meeting with a doctor and a senior lawyer with me about a malpractice case. And during the course of that conversation of prepping that doctor for his deposition, there were some questions that were asked more by the senior lawyer because I didn't understand as much then about his records and where they complete, et cetera. And he reached down into his bag and pulled out a complete other set of records and threw them on the table in the conference room and said, here, those were the real records from his treatment of the patient. He had completely altered and prepared a whole different set of records.
So with Philly Labor, we've put together a program. It's a point of injury program that we've developed. And one of the things that we've noticed and what we've had to deal with a lot is the so 60 to 80% of injured workers get denied or disputed their claims and their benefits, you know, before they recover. And the incredible things that happen to them often by the workers' comp carrier and the panel doctor. It's almost mind-boggling that because what happens is a lot of individuals, as I'm sure you know, deal with, you know, an injury in a simplified manner. They think they're injured and they think that they're just going to get their benefits or what their just due is. And certainly, like you mentioned, the insurance companies and the always people, there's a stigma on the injured worker, the injury victim, like they're up to no good, which is absolutely incredible if you've actually seen it. How often do you run into, so you represent people every day where there's just a naive process in that individual to think that those things that you're talking about right now would never happen?
Well, for 27 years, Joe, after that first experience I told you about, I've been representing injured victims, whether it be work injuries, injuries in car accidents, premises, medical malpractice, whatever it may be. The system is, from my perspective, I look at it when I'm involved in a case, it's war. They're the enemy. And my job is to protect my client and the injured worker and their family and make sure that they get everything that they need and that they deserve to be able to take care of themselves and take care of their families for then and for their future. The defense lawyers, the insurance companies, they're looking to keep money out of folks' pockets, looking to not give them what they deserve. From a business perspective, that's what they do, and that's why lawyers that represent plaintiffs like I do are so critical and necessary to help folks when they're injured.
Now, we talked before we went on air. Today's an interesting day. It's election day. And certainly
get out and vote.
Right on. You know, get your polling place and vote right after the show ends. But the interesting thing is, and one of the things that we do at our Injured Workers Advocacy Program Board of Directors, which we just put together this past year, we deal with a lot of legislative issues. And with our labor show, we deal with, you know, every day we're getting advocated, and we're getting legislated out of our ability to work. But that goes on also with injured workers and injury victims. The insurance companies are organized incredibly well with one focus, and that is to remove benefits, or take the strength or the power out of the law. You and I talked about it briefly, but how important is Election Day, and how and who affects the laws for injury victims?
Well, first you mentioned legislative issues. As trial lawyers, we deal with legislative issues all the time, and also we do that with our coalition partners, which include the labor unions, teachers unions. We are always or almost always aligned with on those issues. But the way to keep laws favorable to injured workers and injured victims, and the way to make sure that in the future you have the laws in place to ensure that you can be protected, is to get out and vote, to make sure you vote for those pro-civil justice candidates that are going to keep the courthouse doors open and make sure that you can get the recoveries that you deserve. Now, this election today tends to not be a very high turnout election because it's a judicial election, predominantly judicial election, and a lot of folks don't understand. They don't know the judges, they don't know who they are, they don't know the candidates, and they don't understand, unless they've had a personal experience or a family experience with the court system, how important the judges are to their lives. So I would urge everybody to get out and vote in this election. And the judges affect all of our lives. They're involved with interpreting all the laws that are passed by the legislature. The Supreme Court sets the law of the land. There's an election for Supreme Court justice today, and the courts below the Supreme Court have to interpret and follow those laws. And we all, at some point in our lives, are going to have some connection with the justice system, whether it's what type of law that I do in a civil arena with folks that are injured and have an injury that affects their ability to work and support their family, et cetera, or criminal matters, family matters, divorce, custody, all those things. So I can't really express enough how important it is for everyone to get out and vote for, those judges who are going to serve us well in the future.
We try to all, and this is such an important issue. And like you said, until somebody gets injured, we're going to talk about, the firm, and we're going to talk about, the types of injury victims that you represent. But when you're talking legislation, and you're talking about here's the day you vote in labor, and believe me, and we talk about it, you hit it on the head when you said today's, it's not a mayor, you don't have a mayor running, you don't have a governor, you don't have a judicial election, basically. And, so motivating people to get out there if they've never gone through something like that. What I always try to say is, okay, look, you think you're invincible, right? Your kids aren't invincible. Okay, you're not invincible either, but in other words, if you don't, I don't want to say care enough about yourself, but think about your family members. Understand what's on the line and do a little bit of educating yourself and get involved in a little bit of the legislative process. I find it amazing, just absolutely mind-boggling, that an election like today could probably affect our lives more than a major election. And nobody educates themselves, and they won't go. In labor, we say don't complain if you're not going to vote, because right to work legislation really means not right to work. It means right to work for less. But the first guy, in the day room is going to complain, stand up and blame his labor leader because there's no work when he didn't vote, and that's and the politicians are the ones deciding that. When you're trying to get that word out, in other words, what I'm impressed about is the first thing you brought up. And I think you're thinking, on behalf of your clients and your future clients when you say that. It may be hard. It may be hard to motivate people you've never met. You can, programs like this, conversations. But those individuals that have already been affected, and they can get out and talk to their families and their friends.
Everybody should go out and talk to their families and friends and make sure they vote in every election, not just this one. You see my little sticker I have. I was at the polls at 7 o'clock this morning,
right,
in line to vote, and because I know how important it is to everybody in the Commonwealth, but specifically to the people that we represent. And we put out information on our website, emails, et cetera, to make sure that we get the message out the best we can. And I would urge everybody to get out there and vote today. If you have questions, all these candidates have websites and information about them. The Bar Association makes recommendations with regard to candidates. Information's out there, and with the web today and folks' ability to access the web on their computers or their mobile devices, you can get that information in a matter of minutes.
Awesome. Well, we're speaking with Joe Mesa of Mesa and Associates, our Who's Who honoree. We'll be back with more from Joe after the break.
If you're injured and need rehabilitation to fully recover, consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness in Center City, Philadelphia. If you're suffering from a diagnosed disease that is causing you great discomfort, consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. They will provide transportation to and from their Center City office. If you are confused, if you are troubled by your medical challenges, or if you feel hopeless because others have made you feel that way, consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainAndWellness.com.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step. A developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
Are you thinking about getting your GED diploma? Well, here at the GED Pep Talk Center, we've got a number of pep talks that can motivate you.
Sometimes things don't always turn out the way you want them to.
You know that feeling? People look at you and don't believe in you.
You want some gentle encouragement.
Then you're on your way to your GED diploma and a better life.
But I know you're probably just a little bit nervous.
You can find it in yourself to take that first step.
You can improve your future.
You can do this. I know you can.
You need to start pushing yourself.
Now get your game face on and take the first step towards a better life.
Hurry up. Don't make me repeat myself.
Whatever level of motivation you need to get your GED diploma, we've got a pep talk that's right for you. Call 1-877-38-YOUR-GED or visit yourged.org for your pep talk and find free GED classes in your area. GED is a registered trademark of the American Council on Education, brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Do you let other people order for you at a restaurant?
He'll have the small lyonnaise.
No, I won't. Or pick the movie you're going to see.
She'd like a ticket to Attack on Rage Mountain.
Really?
Yeah, come on. So why would you let others make all the important decisions about how your life is going to be when you get older? I mean, is it okay with you if your kids decide where you're going to live?
My kids? Are you ready?
Are you kidding?
Or perfect strangers choose who will be taking care of you?
Not going to happen.
No, Better visit longtermcare.gov, the trusted information site that helps you find your own path forward without selling you anything. It takes you step by step through everything you need to consider about aging and all your options. Longtermcare.gov. Stay in charge by planning now or pay later.
How about a mohawk?
How about a mohawk? How about I put my foot right... Oh, hi, honey.
All right, welcome back to the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, serious doctors for serious injuries. We're continuing our conversation with our Who's Who honoree, Joe Mesa. We were talking about legislation before the break, and we're gonna move on from that. But before we do, Joe, you just made a great point about the Supreme Court and how. The Supreme Court makes decisions that are going to affect all of our lives, and how important it is for people to understand that. Could you elaborate there?
Sure, Joe. In addition to the decisions they make on cases all the time, They also are the tiebreaker with respect to the voting and election maps and impact how those maps are drawn and gerrymandering by the legislature for the
redistricting,
future.
Right.
So when it comes to redistricting, that's going to happen again in a couple of years. The Supreme Court's going to make the final decision here. They're going to break the tie with regard to the redistricting map. So having the right justices, and I was heavily involved in 2015 when I was president of the trial lawyers with the campaigns and the election where we got three pro-civil justice terrific candidates elected.
That's right.
Including Christine Donahue, David Wecht, and
Kevin Dougherty.
Of course, Kevin Dougherty, who will serve us well in that future decision making. So we're sort of well positioned for that for the next redistricting maps that are going to be drawn. However, most of the public doesn't understand how important that is.
That's right.
And that part of electing a Supreme Court justice and that decision making. But right now, since that 2015 election, we've put the public in a good place with respect to trying to write good maps and not have this crazy gerrymandering going on.
Exactly. And the kind of a rule of thumb is typically what affects working people. And I'm talking about the ability to legislate somebody out of their job, especially for union workers. Also affects injury victims and injured workers. Joe, as we move on, I would like to talk about the firm, Messa and Associates. Tell us a little bit about the firm and what you specialize in.
So I started the firm in 2001, so we're talking about 17 years ago, January 2001, and since its inception, we only represent injured people, and that's all we've done for the last 17 years. And we pretty much represent all types of injured people for every type of case. So while we tend to focus on the more complex, catastrophic, serious injury cases like construction site, work site injury cases, medical malpractice, defective products that cause injuries, we also handle motor vehicle cases, premises liability cases, any kind of case you can think of where someone's injured on a defective drug or product. I've handled many fire cases over my career. I could give you examples of some of the cases that we've handled recently with the things that have occurred to injured workers and victims and been able to make significant recoveries to help them support their families. A recent case we had was a union carpenter who had his knee destroyed when a pair of drywall stilts that were defective, one of them snapped and just ripped his knee to shreds. Another one was a kid who lost a couple of fingers and a thumb on a defective Ryobi table saw that kicked back and cut his fingers off. And those are, some of the types of cases we handle.
When somebody retains Messa and Associates, Joe Messa, partners or associates, what can they expect?
They can expect that we're going to be there for them. We're going to fight for them. Their case is going to get the time and attention and resources they need. And resources are very important when someone's injured and needs the assistance of a lawyer. There are lots of lawyers out there, single lawyers who hang up a shingle and would be happy to try to take any case they can get coming down the pike. But there are only a limited number of firms in the city that have the resources and the staff and the lawyers and the ability to handle very significant injury cases or complex injury cases. So we have 14 lawyers in my office. We have four nurses that work in my office. We have part-time physician. We have the resources to take on the biggest defendants, the biggest insurance companies, the biggest hospitals, doctors. We've done it throughout Pennsylvania and New Jersey for many, many years, and even in other states around the country.
So when somebody comes to Messa and Associates, they're not paying out of pocket?
No. Everything we do is on a contingency basis. So no matter how big or small the case is, we don't recover money for you. You don't owe us money. There's no fees or costs or anything up front. We get paid if and when we recover money for the injured person.
When you're dealing, and that's important, you're talking about having the resources to fight the big insurance companies. you're talking, you're representing a client, dealing with that emotional, because you're not only a legal representative, but you're dealing with them, you know, emotionally on a daily basis. What's that like, and what does it often entail?
Well, often, in fact, are more than just lawyer. We become lawyer, friend, confidant, psychologist, counselor, because when someone has a serious injury and it's affected their personal life, sometimes they have psychological issues related to it. They're on significant narcotic pain medications that impact them. They feel like sometimes they're, you know, less of a man or less of a person because they can't support their family the way they've been raised to, the way they used to. And, you know, they go through a lot of different emotions. And we try to be there for them and support them. We work on cases in teams. So every case has two lawyers and a paralegal assigned to it, and sometimes more than that. But every case, two lawyers and a paralegal. So we work on teams. We team up and work on these cases together. A client will always have someone that they can talk to and contact in the office that knows about their case, can answer their questions, and guide them and direct them.
When you're dealing with a client, and let's talk about, so obviously you've had, you know, the firm is a successful firm. You know, you get a ton of inquiries. How do you determine, just by answering the phone, whether something's a case or it's not a case?
Well, sometimes you don't. We try to take every call and every person as an individual and evaluate it and give them the best advice we can. I mean, yes, it is a business, so we have to make business decisions. But the only time that really becomes an issue or a question that you have to really take significant time to evaluate and make a decision regularly is in medical malpractice cases, because they're not often at first blush clear.
Right.
There are medical issues we have to have evaluated, even though I've been doing medical malpractice cases for 28 years. I'm not a doctor. I mean, that's one of the reasons we have the four nurses in the office, and that's one of the reasons we use and have a whole team of medical experts to evaluate those cases. Most of the other cases we can evaluate relatively quickly, but there are other examples. Someone's injured on a job site. They might be injured on a piece of equipment or machinery, or injured in a factory on a piece of equipment or machinery, then a little more investigation is required to make an evaluation and determine what exactly about that equipment or machine caused the injury. Is there some defect that we can identify to go against the manufacturer of that product, the machine, the equipment, you know, whatever it may be, I don't know, backhoe, whatever it could be, to make that claim? Because as you mentioned earlier, there's the workers' comp arena, where injured workers have a right to recover against their employer's insurance company because their employer has workers' comp coverage. But that only gives a limited recovery.
Sure.
That provides 2/3 of your average weekly wage and your medical bills, but it's still a fight, and you still have to go after them to get what you deserve, what the law says you can get. But sometimes there is the ability to make a claim to recover for your pain and suffering and other things like future needs that you're not going to be able to recover in a workers' comp claim, because workers' comp only provides you 2/3 of your average weekly wage and medical bills. Doesn't provide you recovery for pain and suffering, emotional distress, humiliation, embarrassment, psychological injuries, those things that you're entitled to recover pursuant to the laws of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
We'll delve into a third-party case. If somebody gets injured on the job, one of the things that we notice in our with our program is they have no idea. Like, literally from the point of injury, they have no idea if the panel, if the employer has met their burden to have to go to the panel doctor, and they don't know they don't know what that burden is. So automatically they think that people are doing the right thing. I mean, that's one of the most difficult things to watch, where somebody calls you and says, listen, I've been working for this company for 20 years, and I don't want to mess with anything. I don't want to, and they don't realize that they're not typically dealing with the company, they're dealing with the workers' comp panel doctor and the carrier. What are we looking at? We got about a minute before the break? Okay, so I want to talk about this when we get back from the break, but I'm going to talk about how an individual would know if they got injured on the job, if they have another, you know, a third party, a potential third party case along with the workers' comp case. So we're going to talk more with Joe Mesa right after the break.
Meet the doctors of Weinerman Pain and Wellness located in Center City, Philadelphia. Dr. Albert Talone, with over 40 years of medical excellence, you're in good hands. Dr. Marco Polino, specializing in the treatment of medical disorders like fibromyalgia. And Dr. Brent Weinerman, the ultimate medical professional who will treat you with an unconditional commitment to surpassing your highest expectations. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainAndWellness.com. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the Y? Or so you think. Sure, you know the Y for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the Y. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background, and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
Help, I need somebody. All right, welcome back to the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, serious doctors for serious injuries. We're continuing our conversation with our Who's Who honoree, Joe Mesa of Mesa & Associates. Joe, we're talking about third-party cases and construction cases, but also you do a ton of other areas of law, correct?
We do. We do everything from car accidents to slip and fall cases to medical malpractice, to worksite injuries, any type of case where someone's injured can contact us and we'll help them.
Talking about the third-party cases, like I said, we've run into a lot of injured workers that don't even know. They automatically go to the panel doctor because they're trying to just do the right thing, and they don't contact an attorney till 6 to 8 weeks down the road or whenever they get screwed, really, in many cases. Tell us a little bit about when somebody gets injured on the job. We'll get, including the third parties. What's the first thing they should do?
Well, unfortunately, the injured victim, the injured worker, like you're talking about, is trying to do the right thing, like you said.
Right.
And they don't understand that the insurance company and perhaps their employer are not trying to do the right thing. And the doctor that they're required to go to because of the insurance company sending them there, they're not trying to do the right thing. They're trying to take steps to get that person back to work and off the payroll of the insurance company as quickly as they can. So what should they do? They shouldn't just automatically trust that the carrier, the insurance company, their employer, et cetera, has their best interests at heart, because they don't. They need to protect themselves. And the way to protect themselves is to go out and seek the advice of an attorney, to get some consultation and counsel from a lawyer to help guide them through the process. And in these circumstances, a lawyer's not going to cost them anything. They're not going to have to go to someone's office like mine and say, okay, here, I am hurt. I'm not getting money that I need to support my family. I'm going to have to give you $5,000. Doesn't happen. It's not going to cost you anything. You come in, sit down, have a consultation, and get the advice and guidance that you need to make sure that your interests and your family's interests are protected.
And what I say to, an injured worker, and I tell them, obviously, I'm an advocate, so I can't answer legal questions, but I can tell them that when somebody gets injured, that insurance company protocol, or that employer's and insurance company protocol, is based on a lawyer. And they have to go see a medical provider, but at the same time, that's why I think it's important for an individual to be able to have a legal counsel. Some people say they're scared. They've been working for the employee. I'm sure you heard this a million times. I've worked for this individual. I don't want to get fired and all these things. And I say, listen, you should get legal counsel so you have questions you can ask questions to somebody who has your best interest in the case. Like, for example, somebody trying to get somebody, a doctor trying to get somebody to sign something when they're still injured.
Look, you need to understand, everybody out there needs to understand that the other side, the insurance companies, the employers, they have lawyers guiding them through these processes and protecting them. You need the same thing, a lawyer to guide and protect you under the circumstances, because they are not looking out for your best interest. And the way to protect yourself and your family is to do that. Go see a lawyer quickly.
Talk about the third party case, part of a construction case. And we talked about just now, people don't, you know, they don't even, they're just filing because they're trying to do the right thing. They not only don't know often whether the employer's met the burden of proof that they need to go to see a panel doctor or they can go see their own doctor, they have no idea about a third-party case. They don't know what to look for. Tell us, when somebody gets injured on the job, for example, does it have to be your, can it, you know, some people are like, well, it was my fault. You're getting injured, you get injured in work. If you accidentally hit your hand with the hammer, unfortunately, that's tough. It hurts. And but at the same time, that doesn't alleviate you from being able to get workers' compensation.
Absolutely not. And those words you uttered, I would recommend no one who's injured as a result of someone else's negligence, whether it's a car accident, on a job site, or otherwise, should ever say, it was my fault.
Right.
Because one, you're going to negatively impact your potential claim, and two, that may be a knee-jerk initial reaction when it may not be your fault.
Sure.
It may be something happened that shouldn't have happened, or maybe you did something too, and there was someone else that was negligent or something defective that caused your injury. Don't say it was my fault. Go to a lawyer. Get the advice you need. You mentioned third-party cases. So oftentimes there's the ability to bring a third-party case in addition to what you can recover from workers' comp. And the third-party cases allow you to have a real ability to compensate yourself and your family for those things that workers' comp does not. So third-party cases, what are we talking about here? For example, if you're injured on a defective product, we mentioned that. You're on a job site, or you're working in a factory, you're injured by a defective, you know, punch press, roll press in a factory. You're injured by a defective saw, or we talked about drywall stilts, or a backhoe, or whatever product it may be.
If another contractor digs a hole.
Job site. And then that's the other part, separate from defective products. You may be a contractor or a subcontractor or working for someone on a job site, and there's an owner of the property, there's a construction manager, there's a general contractor, there are other subcontractors, and they may be responsible. One of them may have done something inappropriate or negligent. Like you said, a contractor digs a hole, you don't know it's there, you fall in it and get hurt. Or a framing contractor is responsible to barricade holes where a stairwell is going to be, and someone's constructing a house and they don't, and another person comes in afterwards and they're doing drywall or they're putting in windows or doors and they fall and have an injury. Well, you have a claim. You have a third-party claim against the person that was, or the contractor that was negligent in not taking the steps that they were required to steps to take to comply with OSHA or provide adequate fall protection or otherwise.
First thing somebody should do when they get injured on a job in regards to gathering information, if they possibly can, what type of information including as related to a third-party case that can be beneficial to them?
Well, it's important to know. Obviously, first, you're injured. You got to get to the hospital, report your injury,
right,
get
exactly.
treatment, et cetera. But it's important to know and identify, take some notes about, get phone numbers of any witnesses. If there's a potential problem on a job site, that OSHA should be notified, that if there's a product at issue. We have a case going on right now where a compressor exploded and caused some very significant injuries on the bridge with some iron workers. And it's important that that product and the component parts of that product be preserved, not destroyed. That the evidence needs to be preserved. So sometimes the employee may not have the ability to do that on their own, but
right.
to communicate with their employer and gather that information quickly, because the longer you wait, the more time goes by, evidence tends to get stale, things tend to disappear. People's memories tend to fade. If you get the information you can, get to a lawyer quickly. They can gather that information and do the investigation they need to do. I mean, we do that all the time. We conduct the investigations ourselves. Someone comes to us, they need help, they're injured. These things have to be done. Steps have to be taken to investigate. We jump in, hire investigators, gather and preserve evidence.
Would you say that, so if we segue to like a motor vehicle accident, is it the same type of situation? First of all, we're putting together a point of injury program where we're going out to the union halls and training this job stewards on doing that. Because like you said, if somebody gets injured, say a ladder breaks, say somebody falls in a hall and it's a 10-foot drop, you know, they're lying on the ground. They're not, you know, they may be able to get their contact information out, but they may not be in the right frame of mind. What we're trying to do is train the job stewards to following the proper protocols at the point of injury, which can help them protect their physicalities, but their lives and their family's life. When you're dealing with a motor vehicle situation, same exact type of scenario. Somebody gets hurt. Obviously, it's different circumstances. What are some of the factors there that are important to know right now for people who haven't gotten in one? And number one and number two, you know, when you get in one, what do you do?
Well, similar. One, what we talked about before, don't use those words, it was my fault.
Did I say that? Darn.
Gather the evidence and information to the extent you can about witnesses, the driver of the other vehicle or vehicles, the insurance information, if you can, preserving evidence of the scene, photographs, the cars. You know, don't get your car fixed before at least it's photographed.
Sure.
And inspected, similar types of things. You know, obviously, if you're injured, treat your injuries, but make sure that you can get the information you can to your lawyer, who can gather and investigate and put that together.
Joe, contact information, if somebody wants to get in touch with Joe Mesa and Mesa Associates.
Call us, email us, phone numbers 215-568-3500, email address, our website is www.mesalaw.com.
Joe Mesa of Mesa and Associates, our Who's Who honoree. Joe, I want to thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast. You know, unbelievable information. Certainly, you know, can't endorse your services enough. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate you having me on.
It's our pleasure. For Dr. Albert Talone, Doc, great segments. I wish we would have had that segment on the shingles about a month ago, but certainly good information. Also want a little shout out to Joe Krause, who couldn't be here, but he'll be back next week. For everybody at Weinerman Pain and Wellness, our sponsor, this is Jay Doc. We'll see you next week.
Help. I need somebody. Help. Not just anybody. Help. You know, I need someone.